Welcome to a deep dive that takes us somewhere, well, truly special. A place many describe not just as a landmark, but almost like sacred ground. You know how some places just have this vibe, this energy, history, and spirit you can feel?
Yeah, absolutely.
Today, we're stepping into one of those places, the Bob Marley Museum in Kingston, Jamaica.
It's fascinating, actually. Our sources really paint 56 Hope Road as more than a museum. It's like a pilgrimage.
A pilgrimage, right.
Visitors talk about this profound quietness hitting them, this real spiritual energy right there. We looked at a review calling it an unforgettable journey, and the official museum info, too.
Right. So our mission today is to unpack what makes this place, his former home, his studio, so impactful. We want to explore the insights it gives into Bob Marley's life, his philosophy, and, you know, give you some key tips if you're planning your own trip to Kingston to feel that One Love vibe yourself. Okay, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So arriving at 56 Hope Road, what's the immediate feeling? What sets the scene?
Well, the sources consistently mention this shift. You step off the busy street, and it's like Kingston just fades, replaced by this deep quietness, a real sense of calm. And there's this distinct, almost palpable spiritual energy, the bright yellow walls, the green all around. It creates this feeling of peace.
Wow.
Yeah, people genuinely feel like it's, you know, holy ground for fans worldwide.
I can imagine that's quite powerful. And the heart of it all is the guided house tour, right?
Yeah.
You're actually inside his space.
Exactly. It's not just looking at things behind glass.
So what specific insights like really stand out from that tour? What do you learn about his daily life?
It's incredibly intimate. The guides, they share stories. They don't just list facts. You walk through his bedroom, surprisingly simple, actually. Really?
Yeah,
and his kitchen, you see personal things like his favorite denim shirt, his guitar. But then there are the bullet holes.
Ah, from the assassination attempt.
Right there. Still visible. It's quite stark. A chilling reminder of the danger he faced, but also his commitment to peace despite it. It really humanizes him, you know, makes the legend feel real.
And it wasn't just his home, was it? It was also where the music happened.
Exactly. Tough Gong Studio, his creative sanctuary. And stepping in there, you can almost feel the rhythms still like bouncing off the walls. Mm-hmm. They have instruments he used on display. So you get this tangible glimpse into his process, how he crafted those groundbreaking songs. This is where reggae, you know, truly went global. The energy is still there.
So beyond the house itself, what about outside the grounds? Do they add another layer?
Oh, absolutely. The grounds are like this quiet retreat, lush gardens, tall trees for shade. And those Rasta colors painted everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You get the sense these spaces were important to him. The sources mention he often meditated out there, found peace in those gardens, a real escape from the city noise. It adds to understanding his connection to nature, his spirituality.
So if we pull all this together, the home, the studio, the grounds, what does it tell us about the man himself? His journey, his influences?
Well, the museum does a great job painting that full picture. It goes into his humble beginnings in rural Jamaica, shows how that childhood shaped his views on justice, equality,
right.
And his connection to family is strong. It was family who helped preserve the site, actually, to make sure his legacy was told right. Understanding those roots really adds depth.
It sounds like his beliefs weren't separate from his music or activism, but like totally intertwined.
Yeah, and that raises the question, how did his Rastafarian faith really drive things? The museum really focuses on that, how his spiritual beliefs, unity, anti-oppression, that deep spiritual connection were the foundation for his messages of hope. He wasn't just a musician. He became this global voice for justice.
Speaking to people everywhere.
Exactly, cultural ambassador. And his calls for unity, for resistance, they still resonate so strongly today. The museum shows that clearly.
And that powerful message, One Love, that's central to it all, isn't it? How does the museum bring that across?
Well, connecting it all, that One Love idea isn't just a song title there. It like runs through everything.
You feel it.
Yeah, in the art, the exhibits, the stories, the guides tell. It's presented as this living philosophy of peace, of global connection. It shows how this simple but profound idea sparked a movement, reminds you that love can overcome barriers. His legacy keeps inspiring people to find that common ground.
Okay, so for anyone listening who's now thinking, I need to go,
yeah.
What are the practicals? Getting there, navigating Kingston.
Getting to the museum itself is pretty straightforward. Taxis are common. Ride-sharing apps work well there, too.
Okay.
From places like New Kingston, it's usually a short drive, maybe 15, 30 minutes. Depends on traffic, obviously.
Right.
Good idea to just confirm the fare before you set off.
Standard practice.
Yeah.
And what about tickets? Tours? Timing the visit for the best experience.
Definitely pre-book tickets online if you can. Saves time, secures your spot, especially if it's busy.
The guided tours run pretty often during the day. Each one lasts about 10 hours and 15 minutes, give or take.
Okay.
If you want to avoid the biggest crowds, try going early morning, like right when they open, or maybe later in the afternoon.
Good tip.
They're usually open Monday to Saturday, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. But always best to double check the website just in case anything's changed.
Makes sense. And anything specific people should bring? Or just what's the general vibe like once you're inside?
Comfortable shoes, for sure. You'll be walking and standing a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe bring some water, especially if it's a hot day. Oh, and importantly, photography usually isn't allowed inside the main house. Oh, yeah, it's quite a setup. There's an 80-seat theater, a photographic gallery, which is great, a record shop, naturally, and a gift shop with loads of Marley stuff.
Right.
Plus the One Love Cafe, so you can grab something to eat after. And tour-wise, you've got options. The main home tour, or one just focused on the Tuff Gong Studio, the making of the music tour.
Oh, interesting.
Or you can do a combo One Love tour, covers both sites in one day, saves a few dollars, too.
So for people who really want to go deeper after the museum, are there other Marley spots in Kingston worth checking out?
Yeah, this deep dive can definitely be just the start. Kingston has more to offer. You should consider visiting the Trenchtown Culture Yard.
Where he grew up.
Exactly, his formative years. It gives you this raw, authentic look at the roots of reggae, adds so much context to his story. You can see the yard, the room he shared, learn about his early influences. It really enriches the whole picture.
And just to really soak in the culture that shaped him.
Oh, absolutely. To feel that spirit, you got to dive into Kingston's wider culture. Find some local spots with live reggae. There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Explore the markets like Coronation Market. Feel the city's pulse. And definitely eat. Try authentic Jamaican food at a local place. Jerk chicken, curried goat.
Mm-hmm. This is kind of full.
These experiences, they really bring the city alive and connect you to that vibrant culture that, you know, gave us Bob Marley and his message.
So what's the takeaway here? Mm-hmm. Visiting the Bob Marley Museum, it's more than just a visit, isn't it? It's a real journey, an immersion into this global icon's life, his legacy.
Yeah, it's described as both deeply educational and incredibly emotional. It really reinforces that One Love message in a way just reading about it can't.
Yeah.
Shows how his influence on music, on humanity, is still so strong, so relevant.
It really makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What makes a place become holy ground for a whole cultural movement? And how does that call for One Love from decades ago still resonate now, still push people towards finding common ground? Something to mull over, I suppose, until our next deep dive.